Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Good news, everybody. They did a scientific report recently, a double-blind study, that swallowing your gum is actually good for you now.
What is a double-blind study?
A blind experiment is an experiment in which information about the test is masked or kept from the participant to reduce or eliminate bias
right.
until after a trial outcome is known. It is understood that bias may be intentional or unconscious, thus no dishonesty is implied by blinding. If both tester and subject are blinded, the trial is called a double-blind experiment. So the person administering the experiment.
The test, yeah.
So say I'm doing an experiment where I have like stale pretzels that I'm going to see if you'll eat them.
Mm-hmm. Except for you don't know that they're stale.
Right. Or I also don't know what the purpose of the experiment is.
Right.
Okay, good. We sorted that out.
I'm glad. Now we know. Double blind people.
Let's talk about artistic research.
Okay. It's interesting, I have to say, working in a pretty... well, I guess large scale museum right now.
The largest scale.
Well, yeah.
Right?
That's true. But I guess just I'm thinking about like the curators, and there's a lot more talk about like sort of the academic or the scholarly side of the art world versus, I don't know, the not. Whatever. What would be the opposite of that?
Well, anything can be studied.
Right.
By a scholar. So what other side is there?
Well, no, not by a scholar. So there's the scholarly and then the not scholarly. There's like, I feel like but in like the museum, there's like a big split between sort of the curators who are considered like academics and scholars and like the rest of the museum who are not considered in that field.
I see what you're saying.
And it's just interesting.
Go on.
it's just something I've been thinking about recently. And I think it's partially the programming that I've been doing where I have these every Friday gallery talks. Sometimes I'll bring in a curator and they sort of bring a more scholarly approach to the work or more academic. They're talking directly about the work, the meaning of the work, the artist and their experience or their history or whatever. And then I'll bring in people from the public who might be artists or who knows what. And they kind of bring in... the thing is, though, is that I don't necessarily distinguish what they're bringing in as not academic. I just think it's like a different take on it. So it's just interesting how...
well, I mean, academia is like going through a whole new explosion of other shit. Like if you go to a symposium, they're going to have all kinds where like you have interactive parts and
right.
parts that aren't just reading a paper anymore.
Right. So then I guess I sort of feel like that the curatorial departments at SF MoMA are functioning in like a slightly...
well, it just sounds like they're being snobs.
Okay, you can say that.
Right? I mean, it's not so much
no,
that...
I don't think that they're being snobs. I just think that they...
well, it sounds
yes.
like they're not intermixing with the other departments, is what...
or with other people who are doing research in different ways. Like, I think they're mixing with people who are doing things the way that they do them. So they have this very sort of seemingly singular idea of what research or scholarship looks like.
Well, anyway, I was thinking more about artistic research as in the research artists do.
Right. Tell me more.
I just think it's funny. I was in a class in grad school where they talked a lot about research artists and artists that do research and yada, yada, yada. And it was just funny to me because I know scientists and like people that do stuff that I would consider like hardcore research, like yeah. double blind experiments.
Yes. Maybe we should come up with some double blind experiments.
And it's just funny to think that you're like, you know, Googling how artists do. Cracking some encyclopedia. Do people feel like there's some artists out there like jamming out some hardcore, like some research that's really expanding like the field that they're researching in? Like a lot of artists are doing all kinds of work that taps into sociology, anthropology, biology, etc., ecology. Are they?
Yeah, but they have to write a paper on it in order for it to sort of get out there, it seems.
Or just do something that's maybe some other scholar would write a paper about. Where it's like, these guys figured out about DNAs.
DNAs? Is that the plural?
Another thing I have to say about DNA, Maysoon, is I don't fucking believe in that 23andMe DNA bullshit.
I really want to do that, though.
I don't believe it. I looked into it recently. I was talking about it with another artist, coincidentally. And
artists.
Exactly. And I was like, I don't believe that they know what chromosomes you have. I don't believe that they actually know what correlates with what place. Like how you get the little report.
Do you have
report.
Anything to back that up, Kate?
Yes. They. Okay, cool. I know just where they know. Get the information from. Like where what they're comparing when you... So if you send your sample into 23andMe...
And it's just like a spit, like a cheek swab.
I believe that they're testing the DNA. I don't think it's all a big scam. The data they have that they're looking at next to your sample that you're sending in is data they've gotten from other people sending theirs in from other places in the world. So you could move to Ghana and send your sample in, and then you're a representative of Ghana.
Oh, yeah, that would be wrong.
Right?
Or slightly... Pretty misleading, I would say.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't believe that the geographic information is accurate, because they're not going in and like doing like taking DNA tests from people that are just like, you know, indigenous people in different places. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean, and that's disappointing to me.
That's just my theory. I could be wrong.
Well, I hope
they don't sue me.
They're not.
This is an art
you,
project. That's the real glory of artistic research. You don't have to answer to anyone.
Jimbo and I were going to, I kind of wanted that the DNA test for both of us for my birthday this year. And then we got really freaked out about
Then Google owns your DNA information.
That, and also
that.
The other kind of information they can gather from you. I was just like, we were just both really uncomfortable with like being put into like a database and not having control over our own bodies.
Yeah, and then not only do they have all your search history, your emails and everything like that, they also have like a whole genome to compare.
Not into that. Freaked out by that. But I am excited about the idea that we're all, that everyone is from everywhere. Some people really should be reminded of that. Now walk me to the ocean.
So, Maysoon, I heard you went to a talk performance.
I did. This week, I went to the Contemporary Jewish Museum.
The CJM. The Jewseum. That's what they call it.
Which I have to say, I always have issues going there because they make you go through a metal detector. It just makes me really uncomfortable.
Sure enough.
So, I went there for, there was a talk by Kota Ozawa who just posted, or who just... They just launched a new work of his in the windows that sort of, it's not in the window, like the front windows, but there's like a glass case basically that they have these maybe more.
Oh, like inside.
Inside.
Not outside.
Yes, okay, no, not it, outside. It's basically a glass display case.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Where Anthony DeSenza had some.
Exactly. That area. So they seem to be working with more local artists for that space.
What did he make?
So he made a couple animations of this ballet dancer doing work in the studio. And so there are three videos of the same dancer in the same choreography, but from three different camera angles, which is kind of interesting. But what was more interesting, I guess, really for me, was there was a performance in the theater space on the other side of the wall that we went to where the dancer was doing a live performance with and there were two screens that were also showing the animation. And what was more interesting also, the audio was from the 1995 Olympic performance by Tanya Harding, the ice skater. Do you know her?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And so it was interesting. So you have
for
this
young listeners, Tanya Harding was famous for a horrible scandal where she got her boyfriend to like hit Nancy Kerrigan, another ice skater, with some kind of club or golf club or
something,
and took out her knee. Big scandal. Big scandal. Back in the day, Weird Al has a song that mentions it.
Does he? So there was this live performance of the dancer who was actually in the animation, the two animations, and then there was this audio piece. Although the choreography had nothing to do with the audio So it's kind of this weird, I really wanted
someone to hit someone else.
No, I didn't want anyone to hit anyone. I kind of wanted to see him doing the choreography that you were hearing, even though it was like choreographed for an ice skater versus a ballet dancer in the
room. Not hard to transition.
Anyhow, that didn't happen. But what was funny, or what was interesting, that whole performance was interesting, except for the room was really crowded and it wasn't sort of set up in a stage or like a proscenium stage where you can actually see the full person. So Julie and I could only see basically from like the bust up of the dancer, which was very bizarre. And then at the end, there was a conversation between the performer, Koda Ozawa, and the curator. One of the questions from an audience member, our dear friend Margaret Tedesco, was basically she asked the dancer to do it, to do the performance again, because none of us could see him.
She would.
Basically, the whole story is that Margaret is a fucking badass.
She just doesn't give a fuck.
Well, because she has a dance background too, so she's just like, "Oh, we just couldn't see anything."
She's
dude.
Not there just to fuck around.
No, she's not to see fucking some around. And they didn't redo it, and so we, the whole rest of the night, we all like spent time complaining about how we really wish they had redone it. That's so they funny. Reperformed it.
That's incredible.
That's my story.
I loved it. Well, I spent this last week out there in L.A., the most hated city on this earth. Even God hates it, Maysoon, and God hates it so much he tried to burn it to the ground.
Yeah. Well, it's technically not supposed to be in our city.
Anyhow, had a great time. This is what I saw art-wise.
Tell me more.
I saw Hito Shkir out there at L.A. Mocha, had a piece.
Is that how you have to say her
it's
last
German.
Name?
German.
But you like did a full body pronunciation.
I love her.
I really like
she's
her work
incredible.
Too.
How
long
can't
is that
remember
show
any of the damn goddamn names of anything. It's called like Sunshine, something about Sunshine.
Okay.
Where it's like, you know, like her weird digital world where it's
so
like a video game. She's making a video game, but it's real because there's like the main character is this dancing like a Russian guy who like did all these these viral YouTube videos where he's dancing like in the basement.
Wow.
And like, so he's like,
just what kind of dancing are we talking about here?
Some real, like, it's hard to describe.
Just like dancing,
it's
not ballet,
of,
not modern.
Yeah,
not like
no,
a
it's like some dancing with
genre.
A lot of like, you know, in England, how they call it pulling shapes where you do like different poses, kind of like voguing.
Mm-hmm.
But not really that.
I didn't know you were familiar with English dance move. Dance.
I just have, there's a song I like that talks about it.
That's his pulling shapes.
Uh-huh. It was good. And it's got lots of digital parts. And
do you have a sense of how long that show is open in LA?
Guns. I forget. Why are you going to try to see it?
I kind of want to get down to LA this summer.
Oh, do.
I have 1 month.
And go to the Osh. Don't forget the Osh.
I probably won't go to the Osh.
Just pop over there on a weekend. No big deal. Sahito at LA Mocha. Did mm-hmm. I mention that? Yes. And did a real quick little docent tour.
Oh, yeah. Nice. How was that?
It wasn't really a docent, though. It was more of like a get. Well, maybe he was a docent, but he was very young.
Oh, great. That's great.
He was also an artist. I think his name was Joshua. He was a little taller than I am.
Okay.
He had a little bit of stubble on his face. He's very cute with his little glasses.
Okay.
He had a really cute outfit on.
That sounds great.
And it was kind of a strange tour. I actually had never been there before, which is funny because I've been by there and tried to go there many times.
Were you in the part that was like the huge warehouse space?
It's just the one that's right by the what's now they have the Broad over there and the big Frank Gehry concert thing and all that shit and like and right in downtown LA. And it's basically just like a loop.
Right. Like but Mocha has two spaces. They have the Geffen
they
Center.
They have like
and
three
the-
spaces, the Geffen and then a print. Place.
Okay, so you were not at the Geffen. You were at the Mocha Museum.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't been there. I've only been to the Geffen.
It's hard because their hours are weird. They're closed on a day you wouldn't expect it. And I can't remember.
What like
that,
Saturday?
I forget.
Fucking idiots. Just
but
kidding.
Anyhow, point is, Joshua took us on a really lovely tour that was not much of a tour, though. It was more of like like a seminar almost, awesome, where we kind of rolled through a few select highlights of the more contemporary. The group decided we were more interested in the more recent works. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, let's check out some stuff that has been made more recently. But he didn't really tell us anything about the work. He was just like, okay, we're going to stand here. We're going to look at it for a few minutes. And you can talk about it with your friend or your loved one. Or with, wow, each other, and then we're gonna talk about what we see, you know. And so, like,
did he ask a lot of questions?
Yes,
this is like the MoMA guides.
Okay,
as of MoMA guides.
So this is like a new tour system.
It's more interactive.
It's like
okay, attempting to be.
Yeah, because but like we didn't. I love Joshua, but we didn't.
I'm sure he's not listening.
He might be, but he didn't really give much information to us, really, at all.
That's different than our guides.
You know, I asked, like, there was one piece called Little Light. I forget who the artist was. It was a lady. And it's like copper wire, thin copper colored wire. Maybe it wasn't fully copper, but okay, anyhow, there's like like a fucking mile of it or something. And like stretched, doing kind of a zigzag, a really tight zigzag, yeah, on like inch apart nails, so wrapped around, okay, up and down, inch apart nails, like about 3 feet tall, okay, each strand, and then wrapped around a nail up and down. And
got
so
it
on.
I understand. I
and across a
eye
wall that was like 20 feet or something, so like the longest fucking cord,
yeah,
going to the tiniest little, like I want to think it was smaller than a normal size light bulb, but that could have just been from the contrast of sizes.
Oh, it was going to an actual light bulb
and powering the light bulb. Yeah, so it's plugged into an outlet, this fucking copper
crazy
wire going on to
winding
infinity to the tiniest light bulb you can imagine, except it wasn't, it was normal size, but
it felt
anyhow,
tiny.
The
after
piece is called Little Light. And it's funny, I really liked it. And so we were talking with Joshua about it, and he's like, so what do you think about this? You know, and nobody's saying anything because everybody wants to be on a tour where they just tell you some shit, I think, because nobody hardly talked the whole time except for me and Katie. And I was like,
that probably means he wasn't asking the right kind of questions.
You think?
Kind of. You got to get people comfortable.
Yeah. I think, yeah, there might have just been a little too much quiet time. Mm-hmm. You know,
where I love it's him. Like, I want to meet Joshua.
I know.
He's like, fuck this. I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah. So anyhow. And so he's like, what do you think? And I'm like, I think it's like kind of really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, funny why? And I'm like, because it's like so much wire to power one single light bulb. And he's like, yeah, that is funny.
And he's like moving right along.
Basically. And I could have gone on. See, you can't. That's the problem with that kind of tour is you get one weirdo in
one
the group who just wants to go on and on. It just really sparked
and
my
no
imagination, Mason.
No one
there
responded
are so many
to
metaphors
you?
And like, is that what art is about? All this work for like so little thing?
So
and
little.
Like, is that what life is? You know, man,
could
it's
be.
Like we're just powering this tiny light bulb with all this work. Not only that, but he did give us a little bit of information,
mm-hmm,
that the artist didn't do any of the install. It was all the preparators having to fucking stand
well,
there and wrap
no
the dam.
Surprise.
Right. Of course. So anyhow, we also looked at like
but no one else in the audience, like in the group, was like triggered by anything you said to like, not triggered in a bad way, but just sort of like, oh, that's interesting or
no
weird.
We looked at a Larry Pittman,
mm-hmm,
painting that I never would have looked at if he wouldn't have said we got to stop now and look at this,
mm-hmm,
you know, but there were so many things in there that I never would have seen.
See?
And like we
so
went through
good.
This whole thing about family and generations. And I was like, you're blowing my mind, Joshua. But really, Joshua wasn't saying anything. So overall, it was a great tour.
I love it.
And Laura Owens had a big painting there. Bless her. She
like
also
her.
Was on the donor list of somebody that donated artwork, so mm-hmm, that's cool. Sharon Hayes had a big video installation that was like trans and queer activists reading stuff, and it was like had multiple videos on multiple kinds of screens, like rear projection and TV screens, and that was cool. overall loved it. They're making a lot of use out of not a ton of space.
Cool.
In that little section of LA Mocha. So, and there was a Charles Atlas video that fucking blew my mind.
The way, I guess the research that's been done is that artwork is a social object, which means that it brings people together. And so and I think one example is like a dog is also a social object, like something that people will be like, oh, your dog, blah, blah, blah. And then it brings the conversation together, like you're talking with another person. And so the idea behind having a tour where it's more like question or inquiry based is that the social object is the artwork brings more helps a conversation between a group of people happen than just like being lectured. Like you actually learn more if you're in conversation than if you're just being lectured.
I like both ways.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I saw a Charles Atlas video there too called Dance Noise Scraps from 85 to 2010. Did you know that Charles Atlas was born in St. Louis, Missouri?
Sure did not.
Neither did I. Never would have expected it. But there's a lot of dance in that one. And there's two ladies and they're dancing and doing all kinds. And it's very sassy and punk and dramatic and stuff. We also went to LACMA. Mm-hmm. They had a fantastic show of Hawaiian featherwork.
Oh, wow.
It was beautiful. Amazing. It was just incredible. The minute detail.
Were they costumes or what were the objects
mainly wearables, collars, capes, a helmet, kind of things, ceremonial status objects.
Cool.
Incredible.
Feathers are pretty incredible.
Truly, from all kinds of birds, including some that were like iridescent.
Oh, wow.
And there were paintings of some probably not Hawaiian people, but some people that some white guys at a museum got to pose for a painting. Anyhow, the two guys were like the two painters were like the sons of some dude that was running like the Philadelphia Museum of Art, like maybe the first director of it. And their names were like Titian and Rembrandt.
Oh, that Jesus was their Christ. First name.
And it's like you don't have much choice in life after that.
Yeah, no.
Fine paintings.
That's pretty funny.
Not quite Rembrandt paintings. So that was fantastic.
Love it.
Kathy Opie had the tiniest show in a little node at LACMA that was called like O Series or the O Portfolio, that was kind of a response to Robert Mapplethorpe's X Portfolio that was more like lesbian S&M.
What was his X Portfolio?
It was like hot. S&M, BDSM, sex pics. He also had a show over there at LACMA, but it was like, I use my AAM membership to get everywhere, and that part wasn't covered by that. So I was like, fuck you, Robert Mapplethorpe. I'll look at it online. JK, love him. I wouldn't turn you away. This is Kate from the future coming to you from my mom's house. And there's an event that we here at the Congratulations Pine team did not want anyone to miss, so we wanted to make a special point of mentioning it. Schism, a sound performance by Chris Duncan, Kate Short, and Vin Voicy is going to be happening Friday, August 5th at 8 p.m. over there at Aggregate Space 801 West Grand Avenue. Right over there in Oakland, California. The gallery opens for First Friday from 5 to 8 prior to the performance, so you can go see the show, Kate Lee Short Show. Please go see it. Aggregate Space is awesome. Kate Short is awesome. This shit's gonna fuck you right up, if you ask me. So get over there. Also, the other gallery hours to view Confluence, which is Kate Short's show up there, would be Saturday, August 6th from 1 to 5 p.m. It's closing down. If you haven't been over there yet, go see it. And that is what I'll say to you. If anybody wants me to interview my mom again, let me know if that's something you're interested in hearing. I might do it regardless, but I may put it on the show or I may just listen to it for my own benefit. And back to the show. Taxi man, talk.
on the way home. But all I wanted was to cry alone. All I wanted was to cry alone.
Maysoon, last week, friend of the show, Jenny Ottinger, had show with Andrew Wittrick, had an opening over there at the Berkeley Arts Center.
That's right.
It's about tennis. What's it called? Quiet, Please?
Yeah.
And I believe that Glenn Helfand is giving a talk.
Oh, really?
Or a little something.
Gave a talk? Is giving?
Not sure. Check that out, listeners. Link in the underworld. I'm actually still out of town right now as you're listening to this because I took a train 25 hours to meet my mom to go on a road trip with my family. If anybody has anything I should check out in the Midwest or where our destination point is New York City, please send that along.
Can you go to some like obscure museums in the Midwest?
Send me whatever you want.
I don't know anything.
I think we're going to stop by Omaha, and I'm probably going to stop by the University of Iowa Art Museum.
Are you going to stop by Bemis?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to bury a voodoo doll under that bitch. Aaron Harbor has ordered a moratorium on any speech of the upcoming presidential election.
I'm pretty much into
that. So we're over it. August, we won't be speaking of it, just as we haven't been speaking of it for the last several months.
We're not even talking about it now.
I know. But consider this our mention of our not talking about it.
But just wait. Kate and I are preparing you for a hardcore political session soon.
No. Oh, yeah, we are. But that's local. Local.
Oh, yeah, local politics.
Anyhow, that will be before the election. And I would also like to mention Maysoon.
Oh, we should do something.
Our 100th episode is coming.
Oh, shit,
this will be episode 96.
Oh, my God. Really?
Wow. Yep. Okay, well, while I'm gone, work on that.
Okay, I'll work
on my musical input.
Okay, sounds good.
Great.
I'm going to work on a musical.
If any musicians listening want to help us work on our musical, we have very little time.
Very little plan. And
but we
basically
might be able
no
to
plan.
Compensate you modestly.
Maybe. Let's discuss.
Anyhow, if you have anything you'd like to contribute or ideas or thoughts, dreams, anecdotes, short poems, please send it to us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You can call or text us, 419-351-6606, or you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. We also got that Facebook page.
Hey.
It's like, just search it on Facebook, Congratulations Pine Tree, and donate to us on our website. Hit the donut button. Ooh, maybe I'll change it to a donut button.
Can you
button.
Make it a donut button? That's
no, it's
so
a
good.
Donate button. Anyhow.
That's all we got.
You've squandered another hour listening to Congratulations Pine Tree. I love it. I love it. From the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.